KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, where giving is more than a gift, it's an investment in the place we call home. For 35 years, we've connected generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, providing more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships. Your gift supports students, strengthens nonprofits, and creates a legacy for the future. Give today or plan a gift for tomorrow by visiting homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation, building community through generosity.
Today is Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025. I am Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. A federal grand jury has indicted two Alaska state troopers shown on body camera video beating, tasing, and pepper spraying a Kenai man in a case of mistaken identity. KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara has more.
Joseph Miller and Jason Woodruff are each charged with violating the man's civil rights. Neither were arrested following the federal indictment. In a news release, the U.S. Attorney's Office says Miller had no legal justification for the violent arrest, and prosecutors say Woodruff illegally used his police dog to bite the man when he did not pose a threat. The arrest was captured on body cameras. The state brought charges against Miller and Woodruff last summer after a routine use of force review. State prosecutors say body camera footage shows Woodruff and Miller tasing, pepper spraying, beating, and having their police dog maul Kenai man Ben Tika during an arrest near Dobbins Beck Park. The state charging document says troopers did not ask for Tika's name during the arrest and did not learn until later that the man they'd arrested was Ben and not his cousin, Garrett Tika. Garrett had an outstanding warrant for failing to appear for a 10-day jail sentence for driving with a revoked license. The lawyer representing Ben Tika in the state case says he underwent more than $40,000 worth of medical procedures as a result of the arrest, which left him with a concussion and a broken clavicle. Miller is no longer employed by the state of Alaska. Jason Woodruff remains employed by the department but has been on leave since the botched arrest. The union contract that covers public safety employees in Alaska says employees charged with a crime over professional conduct will be put on unpaid leave. The police dog involved in the arrest was also released from the department. If convicted in the federal case, Miller and Woodruff each face up to 10 years in prison. James Cockrell is the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. He was quick to condemn Miller and Woodruff's conduct after reviewing the body-worn camera footage last summer. In a statement to KDLL, Cockrell called the alleged civil rights violations deeply concerning and contrary to the department's values. He wrote, quote, "While this is an unfortunate day for the Alaska State Troopers, the alleged actions of these two individuals do not reflect the professionalism of the hundreds of state troopers and DPS employees who serve Alaskans with integrity every day, often in the most challenging conditions in the United States." Cockrell said the department continues to cooperate with state and federal prosecutors. Woodruff's attorney declined to discuss the case. Miller's did not respond to a request for comment. Tuesday's announcement comes as Woodruff and Miller await trial in their respective state criminal cases. They are each facing a first-degree assault charge. In September, a judge declined a request for Miller to dismiss the state's case against him. Miller and Woodruff are scheduled to go to trial next year. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
And in other news, Governor Mike Dunleavy is eyeing a property tax break for the long-planned Alaska LNG project. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the proposal is drawing pushback from legislators and local officials.
Dunleavy's tax proposal would give the project a 90% discount on the state's normal property tax for oil and gas infrastructure. He described his plans in an interview with the Anchorage Daily News. The Republican governor's spokesperson confirmed the proposal, but declined to make Dunleavy or another member of the administration available for an interview. The state shares oil and gas property tax revenue with local governments, and some local leaders are raising concerns about Dunleavy's proposal.
We can't subsidize that project. We at least have to cover our costs.
That's Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Peter Michicki. He says he expects the project would be a boon for the state, and he says a natural gas export terminal would likely bring thousands of jobs to the Kenai Peninsula. But he says a low property tax rate for the project would essentially push some of the project's cost onto local taxpayers.
We're going to have impacts on our schools. We're going to have impacts on emergency services. For sure, we're likely going to be the agencies they turn to for their emergency response plans like all of the other oil and gas facilities do.
Plans for a North Slope gas pipeline and an export terminal in South Central Alaska have been in the works for years, but they've taken on new life in the second Trump administration. The state has turned over the project to a private developer, Glenfarne, which has put out a steady stream of announcements about agreements with possible customers, investors, and suppliers. But the project has plenty of skeptics, too, who argue that the project, last estimated at $44 billion, would be too expensive to make financial sense. A consulting firm contracted by the state legislature to examine the project, Gaffney Klein, told lawmakers last month they may need to make a variety of changes to help the pipeline become a reality, including changes to property taxes. In a statement, a spokesperson for project developer Glenfarne said the company had not seen the specifics of Dunleavy's proposal and couldn't offer an opinion. Michicki says he's open to tax breaks that would support a pipeline, but he says local governments need to be involved in determining what exactly those might be. And at least so far, he says that hasn't happened.
There is a deal to be had here. But it has to be born from facts, real math, local impact data. It has to be transparently and fairly negotiated between all involved in good faith.
In an email, Dunleavy spokesperson Jeff Turner said the bill hadn't yet been drafted, so he said it's premature to say the proposal was developed without their input. And he said essentially that the proposed deal is better than nothing. The state and municipalities are currently making no money on an LNG pipeline because it doesn't exist. Fairbanks Representative Maxine Dybert, a Democrat who co-chairs the state House Resources Committee, says she plans to discuss Dunleavy's bill with local officials. But she says she plans to focus much of her attention this session on a separate bill that would require the project to include a smaller lateral pipeline to supply Fairbanks with gas to cut energy costs.
And for me, that is a line in the sand that it needs to be guaranteed part of the project.
Republican Senator Jesse Bjorkman, who represents the Central Kenai Peninsula, says he's on the fence about Dunleavy's proposal. He says he'd like to learn more about the project's finances to determine what's necessary. But in any case, he says it would make little sense to cut the project to break on property taxes after Glenfarne makes a final investment decision, or FID.
If they're going to have an FID decision in January next month, then that cake is already baked. Like, the financials are already in place.
Glenfarne declined to say when exactly it expects to make a final investment decision on the pipeline. That's essentially the formal green light for the project. The company says it's, quote, rapidly progressing towards a final investment decision and that the project remains on schedule to deliver its first gas to Alaskans in 2029. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
That's this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer on AM 890 and in Seward on 88.1 FM through translator K201AO and KBBI.org. News tips and story ideas can be sent to news@KBBI.org. This morning, tune in for Talk of Alaska's holiday greetings from across the state, and at 1 p.m., Song and Dance with David Stutzer. At 7 to 10 p.m., Positive Vibrations with Beth Carroll. Tickets for KBBI's Frostival are now available on our website, kbbi.org. Join us on Saturday, January 10th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Porcupine Theater for this event celebrating KBBI, live music, and you, our many wonderful supporters. Silent auction and door prizes. Also, there will be music provided by KP Brass Band and Uplift. Ticket, beer, and wine sales all benefit KBBI. Thanks for listening, and good morning.